Welcome to episode 34 of the Never Iron Anything podcast. I'm not going to go into the usual ramble because this week is going to be slightly different. Normal programming will resume again on Monday with the return of two previous guests. They've previously been single, but now they're joined together to make a threesome. But today, we have a catch-up on mine and Adam's, and we have a little bit of a fancy guest star going to be appearing later in the episode, current comics project, Empire. I call this session to order because this is the board meeting. How did that sound, Adam? That one all right, isn't it?
That was good, mate. Yeah. Very, very well written. You've been working on your scripts ever since that first one.
Yeah, since we did the first one.
All the way back in episode one.
Years ago. Well, we did the first two episodes, didn't we, me and you?
Yeah, but you kind of recycled the second one. So
I'm doing that again soon. Don't worry. Yeah. And I'm going to recycle some jokes today as well. I did actually, to be fair, I did actually say to you earlier, do you know any slightly older, quite unattractive women, because they're my demographic, and you said you just walked past a couple. It was an opportune time, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we have a new signing who we're going to reveal in a minute, and we have a new project about to launch. But I thought, bear in mind, this is the end of the first quarter of the Tribute mega industrial international conglomerate that we are, we might have a little catch up to see how we're getting on, see if anyone can learn anything or we can learn anything from what people tell us.
We're sort of pulling back the curtain, I think, aren't we? Because we have these meetings.
Yeah,
I'm going to say maybe twice a week, once a week at least.
Yeah.
So this is like a little insight of what happens.
You turn up at Tribute HQ, make yourself a coffee. You never make me one. And then we sort of sit down and we talk about what we're going to do. And some of it happens and some of it doesn't, to be fair, but that's all right, isn't it?
We spent a lot of shit, though, didn't we?
Yeah. The don't worry, though. Jeremy is coming.
Literally or figuratively?
Well, I don't know. We haven't written the rest of it, have we? But, just keep your eyes open for Jeremy. He's not what you expect. Okay, so let's sum up where we've got to. So we've had... Well, we've had two issues out, and we're not counting Hawk Chronicles. That's before our business relationship and all the contracts were signed with our lawyers.
The first one's probably our flagship title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mr. Hercules himself.
Yeah, so Atomic Hercules 1 and 2 we've had out, both on Kickstarters, both very successful Kickstarters. I think we almost doubled our numbers on the second one, didn't we, which is quite nice.
We've done a lot. Yeah, we managed to twist some arms between the end of the first one and the start of the second one, which put us in good stead for the second Kickstarter.
Yeah, I got out there and shook my booty. Yeah, waved it in the face of some American podcasts, as did you. they very kindly assisted us with our booties. Yeah. So let's talk about this. So we launched the first one, and we very sensibly, for us, and they're not particularly sensible people, got it all created, all written and drawn before we launched, didn't we? So we had, did you have a bit of colouring to do left, I think, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, and probably the lettering as well. I'd sort of leave that to the last minute. That's a bit of a chore, but...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the art was done, I think, if I remember properly. It was just sort of assembling the book together, maybe a little bit of design stuff on the sort of inside covers, and then lettering, and then chucking it out there.
And then we were sort of slightly ill-prepared for stretch goals, weren't we? Because we kind of we are self-deprecating, and we didn't think we'd do very well. So we thought we might make our money, but that we thought that might be it. So we didn't really have any stretch goals in mind, did we? But for those running a Kickstarter out there, I would highly recommend the commentary stretch goal, which we thought was a good idea, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I mean... We're big fans because we're cheap, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're trying to monetize our lovely voices.
So I rung you. I think I rung you and said, oh, what are you doing? Pop over the office. And it was about 45 minutes, I think, wasn't it? We got it recorded. So
yeah,
if anyone's...
Good.
Go on, mate.
Go on.
I was going to say, if anyone's doing a Kickstarter, then that's a really good one because it is inexpensive. It's easy to manage. It's if someone's really into your comic, they're going to listen to it as well, and it's useful. And it's, but to me, it's better than a fucking bookmark or something. Do you know what I mean? That'll just get dusty. It's...
Yeah, I've got so many prints, but I don't really know what to do with them. Like, are they supposed to go on my wall?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But yeah, like you say, I mean, the chances are, if anyone's listening to this, like they put some time into listening to stuff, and would get a lot out of maybe a read through or a, you know, a page by page like breakdown. People like stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I'm all about. I really like the sort of craft side of it. Yeah, and that was a good thing. And then what did we have as the second one? Oh, yeah, it was the on the bus story, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That classic.
It was the now very romanticised and legendary, almost mythological meeting of us on a bus, which didn't actually happen.
It was a toss-up between that and what ended up being the story for the second Kickstarter stretch goal.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? We talked about both, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah. And we went with the meeting, but when we got to the second one, which we'll get to in a bit, we still very much wanted to tell the story of a very popular character in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, very popular Americans seem to have latched onto him, which is quite nice. Yeah, it's quite impressive.
Yeah.
So issue one was, it was easy for me because I wrote it and then you spent months drawing it. So that's the easy thing for me to do as a writer. If you're going to get into comics, folks, I recommend you just do become a writer. It's not much effort, to be fair. Sort of walk around a bit, get a bit drunk and come up with an idea. And then you give it to an artist who sort of spends weeks working hard on it, you know.
It's an interesting take.
You don't hear Greg Rucker talking about that, do you? Him and his thoughtful novels. I just basically came up with stuff that I thought was outrageous and winced a bit when I sent it to you, and then you seemed to sort of like it, which it seems to have gone all right that way. It happened. We did it. I wrote one for you, didn't I, on Saturday, and you quite liked that one. That went all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just got a good sort of writer-artist relationship.
A meeting of minds. Yeah, yeah.
I guess so. The funniest thing, like, I mean, not to retread on old ground.
Yeah.
Hercules. I mean, the funniest thing about the whole writing. I mean, I asked you to write me a Bronze Age comic, and what evolved from it was, I mean, you know, maybe there's a little bit of sprinklings of some Bronze Age influences there, but I mean, there's certainly not very, in terms of it, maybe visually there's a bit more as well, but in terms of actually, if you were to read it, I mean, it certainly doesn't read like a book from the...
It doesn't, does it? No. And I was watching that Mike Diana documentary while I was working this afternoon that you recommended to me. And it reads more like a cross between a Bronze Age comic and a Mike Diana comic, to be fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, if he got his hands on if Mike Diana was the editor of Marvel in the late 70s, that is Atomic Hercules coming out of.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're definitely right. Yeah, that was quite something. That documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon. I can't remember the name of it, so I'm not going to recommend it.
World Angels, I think it's
that's
called.
It. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's all right. So we did that. So we kickstarted that. That went well. Then we had a day where we got together. You sorted the postage out for it by doing the whole booking a thing early, didn't you? You booked it through the post office or something. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just like a Royal Mail business account.
Right, good. So, which is a good idea, recommended. It made it a lot easier. So I basically bagged, boarded and enveloped, and you stuck the addresses on and told me which was which. So the... So that went fairly smoothly. I think we had to send one lot out again out of all of them. I think we only had to do a repeat send of one. So that's pretty good.
As in ones that got lost, you mean?
Yeah. Was it just one?
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah, it was surprisingly reliable, our postal service, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's pretty good. And then we obviously decided, because it ends on a cliffhanger, so we decided... let's crack on and get the second issue done. I think at that point, were you still waiting for Fraser's script? Oh, I gave it away. Were you still waiting for Fraser's script at that point?
It's just the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, no, terrible, aren't I? What was that?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I didn't get that till two was
pretty
was
much done. Yeah, okay. So two was pretty good. Gets worse. We did something with a unicorn that's never been done in comics before, I'd like to say. I also sent you a message saying this is the page that's going to get us the Eisner. I don't mean that at all, you know, because we don't draw like Steven Universe, so we're not going to get an Eisner, are we? For that one, we went a bit saucy. I think we almost outdid ourselves with stretch goals. We went a bit too excited, didn't we?
Oh, the postcards. Yeah. Postcards were my fault, though. I mean, obviously got I obviously got a little sidetracked and ordered. They were just a bit shit, to be honest, weren't they? I can't.
I've still not seen them. You won't show them to me. I keep asking you. Yeah.
Just imagine the ones we got, but they were like on like a thinner paper stock. They looked a bit crap.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. That was what it was. Yeah, so we got that. And in that, we had the two variant covers. And I'm going to talk about the two variant covers as well now. So for issue one, we had Ken Landgraf, hero, much loved by the Outlaw Comics community, which now we are obviously the governors of. And the second one was Ben Mara. So two people who would completely and utterly get Atomic Hercules, I think is kind of the idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty pleased with those choices, but for two variant covers, I mean, what I'm in my sort of head space at the minute, I couldn't think of two better people I'd like to cover from.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah.
And with
And how did you get hold of the man? You just reached out to them on social media, was it?
Yeah, I think so. Ken Landgraf's one of these guys who's like, unfortunately, he's probably not given like the house styles that are around these days. He's probably not the near the top of anyone's
He's
list
not
of
in
hiring.
vogue, is he? I suppose. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's one of these creators who are kind of unfortunately he's just sort of riding on his own sort of coattail sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? He's and he's trying to and he's hoping a little bit like quite a few guys like I don't know like Tim Truman and Rick Veitch and stuff. I mean they're still creating and making stuff, but they're certainly out of the public eye now and they're almost
Yeah.
relying on people like casting their mind back and going, oh,
It's a
do you
shame,
remember
isn't it?
those guys?
The guys who still got it. They've still got it. They could still draw an amazing comic. You know, we need to get them on something. Yeah. I know. We had two other postcards. Did you want to mention what the other postcards were? So we had two others. And they came from interesting sources, didn't they?
Yeah, so we had who did we have? So we had so John Tucker does his live streams, one
Yeah.
of
He's
those.
got one tomorrow, actually, or today as you listen to this.
Shout out.
Yep.
One of those so one of his live streams he did an Atomic Hercules, which I didn't know about. I don't think you did either. So it was
No, I was watching
a
it.
nice
Yeah, I was watching it at the time.
it was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
So I chucked some colour on that and then we thought we'd chuck that out as one of the postcards.
Yeah. And then I
And
had to do some live modelling for Ian Ashcroft, who did our fourth one. I went over his house and just sort of lay about naked a lot, and he drew me. It was really a really pleasant experience, to be fair. Yeah.
For him or for you?
I think just for me.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And yeah, and he did our lot. He basically did some fan art, sent it in, and we loved it so much. I said to him, "Oh, can we pay you for it?" And he said, "No, it's yours." You know, he enjoyed the series, so he gave it to us as a present, which is very kind of him.
And he's a cool dude as
He
well
is,
to
and he's an
boot.
incredible artist as well, as is John, as is they all are. We've got a bit of news I can reveal now. So we've held it back from revealing it. Is that we are getting possibly a print or maybe a pin-up being done by Grant Richards. So spoke to him in the last week or so, and he's doing us a special Hercules piece, which I'm very excited for. If anyone hasn't got it, they should go and get Grant's. Look him up on Twitter, Grant Richards. He did a sketchbook that I backed on Kickstarter last year, and it is absolutely brilliant. He's got such a lovely line work to it. Very different to what you'll have seen with Hercules from before, but the geezer can draw. And I've given him a few bits of reference around some smallish square comics that might be relevant. And he's going to go away, and I said, "Look, do what you got to do, man." And I trust you implicitly. So he's going to go away and do that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of that, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. That's the best thing. That's the best thing about getting a pin-up or a cover or anything like that. It's
Yeah.
just to see other people's interpretations
Yeah. And we've
of the
had
characters.
who's done some? So Cliff Cumber's done one, Dan Butcher, Vince Hunt, who else has done some? Oh, we're waiting for one from Nick Brokenshire as well. He's doing one, which he showed me the roughs from the other day, and it looks hilarious as well as brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah. Who else we had? We've had loads in, haven't we?
Yeah, I think one of the first ones I saw was Ian Laurie.
Oh, of course it was. Bloody hell, yeah. Forgot about that. It's ages ago now, it seems.
Yeah. I can't remember who else. Sorry.
That's all right. Sorry if you did it. Yeah. I'd rather drop that one on you. I didn't research it at all, that one. And then we were very lucky because we got recommendations and stuff on various podcasts and YouTube things. So we got, obviously, The Awesome Comics because I was on it and I enforced them to. But we also got an 11 O'Clock Comics, both issues, which was, in fact, I think we got in three or four episodes, didn't we? Because they talked about it a second time on the first issue. And then I think Jason Wood hadn't read it. And he repeated it on the next issue for issue two. So I think we got on four separate podcasts for them, which is brilliant. You know, and then I went on the podcast last week. So that's good stuff.
Episode 683. There you go.
Yeah. we're also on Kayfabe because you sent them through.
Oh yeah.
And we're also on the Lakes podcast, very kind of Ian and Nikki to, and they got it, totally got it. I was grinning as I was walking the dog. And that was really good. Okay, so anything else you want to talk about around Hercules, dude? Anything else you can think of?
No, I think so. But so I guess we're gonna move on to while that was being done.
Yeah.
In the background. You sort of had a bit of a Judas thing going
on.
Yeah,
I was total Judas. And I started work. Well, to be fair, we'd started on that long before we'd formed Tribute, didn't we? So it was last year that I was working on Tony Osmond is a Movie Star, originally called Bloody Biography, which is the name of the story if you read it. And so me and Cliff Cumber, and with Ken Reynolds on Letters, Vince Hunt did the layout. Vince Hunt also did an amazing pin-up, all based on movies that we've made up. Dan Butcher did one, Rachel Lee Carter and Kev Cooling. So that was the talent on that amazing issue, which we're very pleased about. It's come out lovely. I'm very excited about that. Just had to restock on it because of all the hundreds that we've sold. We're very excited. And we're going for issue two later in the year, is the plan. There you go.
That's if you can... if you can persuade Cliff again, you know, he's obviously a big star.
Well, now he's been in Space Warp. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think his page rate's through the roof now.
I'm just a bit worried about that. But
yeah, I tell you what, though, man, I bought two of the pages for Tony Osmond straight away because I know he's going to be in demand. And I thought, I'm going to buy them straight away. So that's very exciting. I've also got about eight bits of his art that's in a folder here I'm keeping. Just so I can put the kids through college and stuff like that, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, you also gave me a page. You gave me the penis in the eye page, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I knew how much you were you were proud of that the little skull fucking thing.
Also the one that Kayfabe liked the best, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh, everyone likes that page. It's a great moment in comics history.
And you did, you really carried it through. You extrapolated and ruminated on how it worked. And there was a little trailer jizz, which I was very proud of you for. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, we have got some plans. We've got some plans ahead. We're going to pause now for an advert. And then in a second, we're going to call in the person I didn't accidentally name a minute ago for a little bit of an interview about what we've got coming up. So if you just want to pause there, Adam, for a second. Have you paused? I can't hear you.
I have paused. Good. Yeah, sorry. That's okay. I'm busy pausing.
Good man. Do you feel a need to show your emotions to strangers in public? How about needing to blub like a baby in Tesco's or stamp your foot because you don't get your way in the post office? You do? Well, you can manage all this and more by joining Twitter. You can make a total James Hunt of yourself without even leaving the house. Join Twitter. There you go, that's the Twitter advert. Very proud to have them as sponsors.
They pay well.
Brilliantly. They pay outstandingly. They're very rich. I get loads of money off them. I don't get any money at all. They don't even sponsor us, to be fair. But there you go. That's lovely. Okay, so we're going to. I'm going to stop the interview with you here for a second, and then in a second we'll be joined by our mystery guest.
So the sausage is made. Yeah. I mean, you could have cut this bit, but you won't.
I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Okay.
Okay.
And we are here with a special guest. Look at this. I'd like to refer to him as a new signing, A new signing at Tribute Press. It's like Paul Mariner joining, I don't know, Ipswich Town in 1983. How's that for it?
Oh, that's a nice one. That's a, yeah, and I'm old enough to remember that reference as well.
That's a deep cut, babes. Yeah. We have with us the writer of The Edge Off and Alex Automatic, Mr. Fraser Campbell.
Hello.
How are you doing, man? Good.
Hey, Fraser.
Yeah, be far from it for me to have a podcast and not have a Scottish person on it. So that's good. I have to say I do like Scotland because it is to be the home of British comics as far as I'm concerned. That's how it works, isn't it?
Well, these days, yeah. I mean, we've got a few good folk emerged from Scotland, haven't they? But yeah, obviously talent all around the country. But yeah, we've got a good tradition up here on the old comics.
Yeah, I like it. It's friendly up there as well. It's not full of niche. You know, people turn their nose up because they make zines or something. You know, I quite like it up in Scotland. Edinburgh and Glasgow were great fun. Anyway, so we're not here to talk about that, about geographical locations. We're here to talk about the new book coming out from Tribute Press, which what do I refer to you as? Is what you call me earlier, Adam, a Judas? So,
it's my turn.
You're having an affair. Yeah, you're having an affair with another writer, rightly so. A very talented one. And so who's going to lead us off? Fraser, was it kind of your idea, was it, for this book?
Well, I think, sort of. Let's go right back to the start. We're basically, Adam, I think you were looking at sort of expanding stuff and doing a wider range of stuff. And I think you'd contacted a few folk about writing. And we kind of talked about doing... something quite Bronze Age-y and old fashioned kind of, just a sort of Marvel adventure comic, a bit of, no frills fun really. And I was talking to, I think Ian Laurie was going to, originally was roped in as well, but he dropped out latterly.
Oh, right. Okay. I didn't realise that, man. Yeah. As a writer or just as an artist?
As a writer. Oh, cool. Before he did drop out, he sort of told me about these characters that he'd created when he was a wee boy, which were basically avatars for Power Man and Iron Fist.
Don't say that. Shush. The lawyers would be onto us.
Well, that's it. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they were...
We'll that in post-production.
Yeah, they're merely inspirations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What I meant to say was he came up with these completely original characters that owed nothing to any previous literary imprint. So as soon as he said that, I started to kind of see the potential of the story for it. So I knocked up an outline and we took it from there. Eh?
So what is the name for this marvelous new comic, guys?
It is Knockout in Tiger Style.
The best name ever. Brilliant.
Ian is... I don't know anybody else in comics that is like as amazing as Ian is coming up with like one line pitches or titles.
Oh, like,
and they're just like...
Yeah.
They're just like throwaway things as well. Like every like tiny post, like maybe like some old stuff on like Instagram... It'll have like a one line, like, oh, here's this that I was going to do. And I'm just like, that would be an amazing series. And you just wrote that down and then forgot it again because it is
it's the most frustrating thing in the world because he's no intention of doing any of these things, which is why sometimes I just go, right, well, I'm going to do this.
Right.
If you're not going to write it, obviously, I'll take your idea and I'll make something with it.
Now, let's be clear, you are friends with him. It's not like just some bloke we know.
Oh, yeah.
You've created a few comics with him.
We are friends and collaborators. He's one of my oldest mates.
Oh, nice.
Adam's absolutely right. He tosses off these ideas. If you're in the pub with him, he'll literally give you about 10 ideas that you're going home in the bus or the train going, oh, man, I can't believe he's just, there's just stuff that you would... I'll tell you one he did the other day.
Yeah.
I can't remember the title of it, but it was basically a kind of an Inception, if it was comics. It was a guy who somehow managed to tap into comics and could bring powers and weapons from the comic world into the real world and sell them.
Okay.
And I was like, well, that's one of the most brilliant ideas I've ever heard. And he's looking, are you going to do it? Nah. Yeah.
God, you can see that as a redraw of, is it either, well, it's either Demon Slayer or Devil Slayer. Because didn't he used to produce weapons from his cloak? I think he did, didn't he? Yeah. Love that character.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, well, this is the thing. It's just the kind of thing, he just dashes off.
Oh, good stuff, man. So what's the sort of pitch for Knockout and Tiger Style? Spoiler free, how would you describe it?
All right, well, I would describe it as basically two sort of classically chalk and cheese prize fighters become acquainted at this sort of illegal superpowers street fighting circuit where one of them's a fighter and the other one's an observer, and things go awry at this fight, and they both end up kind of fighting for their lives, and as a result of that, one of them ends up meeting a character who is looking for a bunch of kids, sort of teenage boys who have sort of disappeared, and she thinks their disappearance is connected to the fighting circuit, because they're all sort of wannabe street fighters, and these are street fights where superpowers, enhancements, elaborate weapons, it's a kind of anything goes to the death kind of street fighting. So obviously she's trying to find these kids, and the two characters, the two main characters, end up trying to help her to do this, and end up discovering far more than they bargained for.
Real.
And that's basically the quick pitch of it, really, isn't it?
No, I've seen it. It looks brilliant. So it's proper fun, which is what we're all about, I think. But the design wise. How much of an how much did you two collaborate? Because they've got a certain design to them, haven't they? But I just wondered, do you put in the script what sort of costumes they're wearing or how they dress or anything like that, Fraser?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's all up to the artist, really. I just give them an idea of what I see, and then any changes, really up to the artist. But I think we went a wee bit back and forth on Tiger Style's costume.
Okay.
But other than that, I think Adam's just designed the look of the characters more or less, from my notes and from his own ideas. So the other thing I do is quite often I kind of do character sheets where I kind of cast the characters, usually with like an actor or somebody who I think they look like or has the same kind of energy as the person that I'm writing, just to give whoever's drawn it a kind of idea of who I have in my head.
Yeah.
So if that helped, Adam will be able to tell you that.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. I think as someone's drawn for both of you, I think you both have like very different sort of script styles. So I think Tony's yours is very loose, and Fraser's yours is quite tight. So I went from one to the other. And I tried to stick with yours, Fraser, as much as I could, just because if I didn't, there wouldn't be like much point working with you. Do you know what I mean? Like there would be no point reading your script and then go, okay, I'll do my own thing. Otherwise, I'd just ask you to send me a plot. So it was interesting going from Tony's very sort of loose, flowing scripts to maybe to your sort of tighter one.
Fair enough, yeah. Oh, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, if we'd wanted to do something along the lines of, I just give you a kind of Marvel method style idea and you sort of, you run with it, we could have done that. But generally speaking, I write out a pretty worked out script. What happens thereafter really is, obviously a collaboration. I'm quite happy to go back and forth.
See, it strikes, I'm a bit of a control freak, so I like to write scripts and tell the artist what to do because they are basically our employed slaves, Fraser. But the other side of it is I'm also intensely lazy. So the thought of just ringing Adam and telling him what to draw also vaguely appeals to me. But I'm not sure if it would sit in my sort of messy head.
You try and find a happy medium.
Yeah. I think so. Mm. But well, we still sort of see it was still panel breakdowns and stuff like that. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then did that, go on, sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, just things like choreographing the fights and stuff like that. It's not, you know, for me, I'm trying to marry up the dialogue with, you know, trying to do some sort of, you know, fun Marvel style sort of, you know, punchy, you know, literally sort of, you know, sort of violence metaphors when people are landing punches and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, that kind of, if somebody gets stabbed and they, you know, you've just got the point and that kind of, you know, some rubbish like that. But, you know, so there's elements of that. But, you know, obviously, if there was anything I didn't really wanted to change or had a better idea for, I've always been like that with artists where, you know, I can't draw. So they're obviously going to be better at laying out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Things like me. So I'm always happy to sort of take suggestions. But I do try and work quite hard to make it all sort of make sense in the script. But, you know, obviously from the point of view that, you know, that could easily be improved upon.
Yeah, that's fine. It's always it should be that the joining of you two should be better than the single person, shouldn't
well,
it?
That's it.
It doesn't always work that way in comics. Sometimes it goes the other way. But for this, and hopefully the one I did, that's what happens. Is we join together like what's that stupid robot cartoon that you watch, Adam, where they join together and they became one? Is it Shogun Warriors? Well, not Shogun Warriors. What's that other one?
This is based on no factual evidence, is it?
No, none at all. I just thought you seemed a bit quiet, so I thought I'd involve you by saying robots. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Shogun.
I don't know.
Isn't that robot cartoons?
Yeah.
Where more than one cat, they all eventually form up into one giant robot.
I think it is. Yeah, I don't understand cartoons, Fraser, to be fair. Yeah. They all seem to look like Steven Universe these days, and I hate them. But, yeah. So from a sort of stylistic point of view, I'm thinking you're sort of probably we're about the same age. You're probably like a Bronze Age fan as well, are you? Is that the kind of did that hit that sweet spot for you? That
This was an enormous amount of fun to do for me because you know, obviously I grew up reading these comics. The characters I mentioned earlier that are under copyright. The runs by like Joe Duffy and Kerry Gamble and
Kerry Gamble. I love Kerry Gamble. And, God.
Absolutely, yeah, lived on them when I was a kid. And just, you know, I don't know, just the fact that I grew up in a wee town in Ayrshire.
Okay.
And it was this kung fu comic about two guys who kicked ass in New York. And I just thought it was amazing.
Oh, I loved it. My favourite ones were was it issue 75 where they go to Kunlun? It's like a double sized issue. And it's got like a wraparound cover. And then the other one is they meet this like very thinly veiled version of Doctor Who. Have you read that one? And he's like in this.
I don't think so, no.
Oh, fuck it. I'll send you the issue. It's brilliant. Yeah, love it. Yeah, Kerry Gamble needs to be talked about more, as does Joe Duffy. I was talking about Joe Duffy the other night, actually, can't remember who it was with Dave Robertson. And it turns out she's now the receptionist at the Immigration Centre in New York.
Really?
Yeah. What a shame, eh? What a shame.
I know. It's a great writer. Yeah,
you're really good. Yeah.
She did some fantastic work.
Yeah, that Star Wars stuff she did was great.
That run on. I mean, she did a good chunk of issues.
Yeah.
Up Iron Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
It's really great stuff.
Yeah. Welcome to. You're right there, Adam. You're in the Old Blokes podcast. You're right there.
Yeah. We tripped down memory lane. So, but that's the point, really. I mean, it was. Obviously, I'm. You know, it's unlikely that a time machine's going to be able to transport me back to.
The
70s and 80s, to have an opportunity to write those books in that style, in the style that I grew up reading, which obviously isn't how people tend to write comics these days. This was just an opportunity to write a 100% for fun, kick-ass, old-school comic book, which I don't think... You know, unless in indie comics, this is what we do, isn't it? We do the things that we want to do that nobody's going to give us a chance to. So, it's an absolute pleasure to do. The script came really, really easily.
Oh, nice. Good stuff. Yeah.
I've got to say, you nailed it as well, Fraser, like reading through. I mean, like you say, it's not like that style of book where you're almost. showing and telling at the same time. Like, that's just not in vogue anymore. Like, we've been educated to try and to not do that. But you, I think you, like, you called it back so perfectly, and it's so interesting to see, because I, as you mentioned earlier, Fraser, when I was thinking about doing maybe a line of the of these sort of books, and I asked both of you, and Tony, you took like a Hercules Unbound, and then that's morphed into like Atomic Hercules, yeah, which exactly. I love.
Yeah,
you ended up straying so far away from the Bronze Age bit. So it's crazy. You absolutely stuck to it, and it reads perfectly like a book from that time.
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, for me, that was that was what I was trying to do. I was just trying to see if I could, you know, if I could write a comic in that style, and that, and it was interesting to go back to the, you know, to these older techniques that people tend not to use anymore. One of the things I absolutely love about those old comics is that sort of narration voice, that sort of voice of Marvel, or, you know, the kind of crazy, you know, hyperbolic narration that you get at the start of the comics to kind of set the scene.
Yeah, well, the other thing, I don't think we've included it in either of our comics, but I think we probably should do, is thought balloons. Have you?
Yeah, well, there's a few in this.
Is there? I've not read the script. I've only seen the art so far, but oh, nice. Oh, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, the point was, one of the things that I get dug up on quite a lot is people see caption boxes as quite old-fashioned.
Right, okay, yeah.
Obviously, they see sort of narration, caption boxes, and thought bubbles as quite old-fashioned and hackneyed. However, I would counter that by saying that you may take a wee bit of time to get used to it if you've not read these comics, or this sort of era of comics. You may take a wee while to get used to the style of, say, a Claremont in his heyday, or Marv Wolfman in his heyday. But I tell you, at the end of the comic, you know exactly what everybody's motivations are, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and you know, there's none of this. Yes, I mean, for me, modern comics can sometimes fall into attempting to be cinema.
Yeah, you know, they're either overwritten or underwritten a lot of the time these days. To me.
Well, yeah, exactly. A lot of them are like sort of virtually no dialogue, and it's just a series of pictures, or it's everything's done through dialogue, and it just reads as really odd, and you know, people don't talk like that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a touch of the melodrama about the Bronze Age, isn't there, which I kind of like.
Oh yeah,
a touch of the spectacular. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
well, yeah, ramping up the. Yeah, you know, just ramping up the drama for the kids.
Yeah,
and making everything seem like a big deal, which obviously worked on us.
Yeah,
when we were kids, because we loved that style. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to do that sort of hyperbolic, you know, Stan Lee style, I guess, or Jim Shooter style narration at the start to sort of set the scene and have wee thought bubbles where, you know, you can sneak in a little bit of. You know, story progress without, you know, clogging up the page with extra panels and things like that. Yeah. Just keep the action flowing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they want. Yeah. You know, I like a nice chunk of story as well. Do you know what I mean? I don't like it to read like it's the first issue and you're like, oh, was that the first issue, was it? You know, it's like that. I like a good chunk of story in it, and I think you've got that in this from what I can see, yeah.
You've got to try and set the scene. Let people know who the characters are. So obviously we've concentrated more on Lyndon Kirk, who is Knockout in this one, the next issue, because that's a two-parter.
Cool, yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah, good.
We'll focus more on Reese, because he sort of comes literally sort of jumps in out of nowhere. And so, you know, to introduce the characters, tell the story, end on a fun cliffhanger, and have lots of punching and kicking.
Yeah.
That was really that was what I was looking to do.
Nice. Now, firstly, me and Adam have had a bet about what the percentage of over the number on Kickstarter is going to be. so I should be getting your number later. There's a score. Okay. There's a score in it. Each of us is putting a score in. You're included. I know, for us, that means £20 in London. So we'll be talking about that.
All right.
But when is it? When does it drop? So when should people be expecting it?
So is this? So launched on the Kickstarter this Friday, 6 PM UK time.
Excellent.
And I think you can follow the page now. It's I think that's Kickstarter's new thing, isn't it? You can follow the page.
Yeah, I've signed up for it. So that's Friday the 17th, is what you're saying, yeah?
I'm gonna say you're right. Yeah. I'm gonna make you right.
Good man. And how long are you gonna run it for, guys? What's the plan?
I think. Oh, I'm gonna say it's about 2 weeks or just over 2 weeks.
You're gonna do a 2 week one, which was successful for us with the second issue, wasn't it? I think you've run Kickstarters as well, Fraser, haven't you? Because I've invested in them a number of times, and the middle bit's a bit depressing, isn't it? It becomes a bit quiet.
It can, yeah. I mean, I usually run them for 30 days, yeah. But I think recently I've talked myself. I did the last Alex one for 30 days, and yeah, I mean it was great at the start and great at the end, but the middle weeks were difficult, simply because you're picking up the odd backer here and there,
yeah.
But you're still having to do all the promo and all the work and try and you know. So I think that was my last attempt really to see if I could generate anything extra through extra work, because when the last Alex campaign was running. I was furloughed and I had plenty of time, so I thought, right, well, I'll try and, you know, reach out and try some new things in terms of marketing and getting the word out.
Yeah.
You know, it worked to an extent, because we did end up with a good
tool. You did well. You did like 400% or something, didn't you? Or?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was the best result we got.
Brilliant.
But I worked my balls off to get it. You know, and to be honest, it's not, you know, like what you're saying, the middle section, I wouldn't say it was completely not worth it, but...
Yeah, you picked the odd one up. We were the same. Yeah, there's the odd one suddenly. You get a suddenly one. You also get the odd one that drops off sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a funny one.
Nothing like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's also 2 weeks less of you constantly posting on Twitter, but not saying you, but anyone in general, constantly posting on Twitter and stuff like that. You know, it's quite draining, isn't it? You know, looking at your phone every time.
I think saying me is fair enough, because I'm notorious.
No, I'm bad as well. Yeah, no, we were both.
For promo, but you're absolutely right. It does give people who are following you a wee bit of a break, because you're not constantly going buy my comic for a month. And it's just really 2 weeks.
And I think you're of the same mind as us, is you've got it ready to go as soon as you know at the start of the Kickstarter, you're ready to go to release it, aren't you? So I know, what was it like 2 weeks after the end of Automatic that you sent it out? Is that right? Or
well, yeah, the physical books are still here,
yeah,
because
but the digital came out quickly, yeah.
Yeah, digital came out straight away because literally my post office just opened.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Because it's in a mall, so up here in Scotland, we've only just been allowed to open shops in malls again because they're in an enclosed space. They'll be off hopefully sometime soon, the physical books.
Brilliant.
And James has got his consignment of books to send out with the original pages and the commissions. So he'll be doing them as well.
James is great, isn't he? Very supportive of us as well, I must say. Thanks, James. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, James is a good guy.
James is brilliant. Great guy, and a great guy to collaborate with, obviously.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing it now for like 4 or 5 years. So,
oh, good stuff.
No sick of each other yet.
Yeah.
we're planning to do some more. We're going to have a wee sort of Alex hiatus, I think.
Okay.
And do another wee book together next year.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Yeah, get a bit of a fresh feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good little run, though. Was it 5 issues in the end? I'm trying to remember.
It's 5 issues so far, but there's another, that's basically half of it. There's another half of the story to go. So it's probably going to be another 3 or 4 years before the story's finished.
Oh, good stuff.
But I think probably what we'll do with Alex now is maybe do a collection next year.
Brilliant.
As well as doing another wee side project, and then maybe start up issue 6 in sort of sometime in 2021.
Where have our lives gone, Fraser? It's, you know, we're older than Superman now, aren't we? That was always my great fear.
I know.
You know.
It's feeling that way. This is why I'm always. This is why I'm always doing comics, mate. I'm running out of time.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Are you right there, Adam? You're very quiet. What's going on?
Yeah, good man. Well, this is. I'm just letting you interview our fantastic guest. So.
Well, I think we've probably reached the marvelous end of this another amazing podcast. So just to say finally, give us all your links. So Fraser, do you want to start? Where can people find you? What's your home address? That sort of thing.
Fair enough. Best place to find me is Twitter. Usually I hang around on there quite a lot. Where you will get me at FraserC69. Follow me for fun, laughter and comics rubbish. and obviously for the next 2 weeks for endless promo for Knockout and Tiger Style.
I always love that. I'm born in 68, but I think I always feel for people who are born in 69 because they kind of include it in their email addresses and stuff like that, and it always sounds a bit saucy to me, Fraser.
Oh, but yeah, people think you're making some sort of sex joke. Once you get to my age, you are a sex joke.
Yeah, sex is a joke with me. Yeah, seen the face I make. Yeah.
That's fair
and
enough.
Where can it's we buy your comics from, dude?
You can buy my comics from. I have a Big Cartel store. If you look on Big Cartel for Cabal Comics, you'll find my store there. Which I've recently sort of renovated, so it's got pretty much everything that I've got, available now for sale. Which is, I think, round about two. I think that's about 10 comics now.
Oh, nice, good stuff.
Up there.
Good. You've obviously gone for the pay version. That's what I've done. So it's worth doing.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That's right. I upgraded and. So now you can have more than 5 products, which is good because you can stick a few extra things
some
up.
Some old stuff you want to get rid of. That's what I've done. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about you, Mr. Falp? Where can people find you?
Especially Instagram, I think, nowadays.
Yeah.
It's at Adam Falp. I think I occasionally, peer my ugly head onto the battleground that is Twitter. At Adam Falb or adamfalb.com for buying books and stuff.
Cool. And you can also find you at a house party on Saturday that you haven't invited me to. So that's good.
I didn't, but you are more than welcome to come, my friend.
Yeah, imagine weird Uncle Tony arrives. It's going to be fine.
That's how I'll call you as well.
You know how well I get on with the lady on the desk at my office. It's going well.
I saw in the flesh today.
You did. You can find me at neveronanything.bigcartel.com and you can follow me on Twitter, Ezohyz. If you want to listen to a proper podcast, you can come over and listen to the Awesome Comics Podcast every Monday. We've got some great guests coming up and a few plans, actually. We made some plans on Sunday, but just before the show, about some exciting prospects we've got coming up. So we're into our sixth year now. It's very exciting. You've both been guests. Thank you very much. It's going good. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say goodbye to you now, and then we are going to continue talking after I press stop, and nobody else will hear that. See you later, guys.
See you, mate.
Cheers, mate.